Testing. Testing. Praise God. Just for those who don't understand, that passage in Revelation in chapter 5 was about Christ. The church is already in heaven, and Christ has taken the title deed to the earth. That's what that passage is all about. And of course, we know it's Christ because the 24 elders represent the church. And they're praising God for what he's done for them. Anyway, that was just by the way. I'm going to need water up here. Somebody's got a fire at my backside. And Meg warned me, watch your P's and Q's, she says. Yeah. I would like to look at the book of Revelation this morning only because I love it. It's not the book of Revelation, so if that's what you know it is, it tells me that you've no studied it enough, okay? So it's the book of Revelation, and it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know most of us seem to think it's a very complicated book, and we tend to avoid it. Anyway, I don't intend to go through the whole book. I'll comment on the first three chapters today. And if you enjoy it enough, you can come back and tell me, and I'll teach more. This is the second season of my house group on a Wednesday night, where this is the book that we're looking at. And all are welcome to come along and join in on a Wednesday. You won't be interrupting anything because I do a recap every week on each chapter. So it's easy enough for you to catch up. And what you don't know, you can always come back next year when we're doing it again. And let me assure you, it's only as difficult as the founding fathers have made it, because they've allegorized it. And we can understand that because the evil Roman Empire rulers, or Roman rulers, it would have not been too easy to tell them that Christ was coming back to put an end to their evil rule. And where would the priests have got their pay from? Because they were working for the Roman Empire at this time. So we can excuse them, but they have made an awful mess of the book of Revelation, and they've created all sorts of problems. However, for me, as I said, this is the most interesting book of the Bible. I've been reading it since I was saved, and I've been studying it now for over 25 years. And it's a book that takes you into every other book apart from Esther. I've never been in Esther as a result of reading it. But it takes you into every other book in the Bible. Anyway, before we start, let's just pray. I got a bit excited there, so. Father, we just want to welcome you here. We just ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. There's quite a big portion of Scripture here, and hopefully I've done it some justice. I do pray that you'd open up the eyes of those who would seek to understand you more. We ask this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. The book of Revelation, as I said, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the person. So when you're looking at it, think of the person. It's what he is, Christ. It's what he's done for us. And John is told to write what you've seen, what is now, and what will take place later. You'll find that in verse 19 of chapter 1. That in itself is in three stages. The book's in three stages. And it's also in three stages. It's chapter 1 to 3, and then from 4 to 19, and then the glory as the later on, or the metatauta, as it's known. And that is what comes next. The book covers the time of Christ through to the end of the age. It's the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to the reader. It's a book of prophecy, and blessed is the one who reads it. I don't know if I've got that verse. Is it there? No. Aye, that's the verse. That's a great verse. I sent that over to Pastor, and he says, well, that's quite a deep teaching you're going to be doing there. I said, I'm not teaching that. But anyway. But let's just keep that there anyway. I'll just remind you, it's not a book of allegories. It's a book of prophecy. It's what he saw, what he heard. You find that John, who's transported from one place to another, he's a real guy. This whole business of being from the time of Christ, it just follows through from Acts and until the end of time. And I'll show you as we go how that's actually true. And by the way, this is my secret. This is why I live in the blessing. Because of this secret. Because, anyway, it's out now. John's testimony is the revelation of Christ to John. Christ is walking in the midst of the seven angels of the seven churches of Asia Minor. You'll find that in chapter 1 at the end of chapter 1. It tells you that he's walking in the midst of the seven angels and the seven churches. He's interpreting the vision that John is looking at the end. The seven churches are Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, these were real churches with real people with real problems. And these churches were excavated in the early 19th century by a guy called Ramsay, and he's got a good book on it. Although they're just a pile of stones now. And if you're anything like me, it's just a pile of stones. Although God is the same yesterday and today, by the time he gets to Babylon, they'll know the stones won't be fit to rebuild the time God's finished in the book of Revelation. Each church has got a report card. The good things, the bad things, and how to fix things. Okay? Ephesus, the word means darling or first love. That was the apostolic church. That was the beginning of the ministry after Christ had died. It was said of them, they were too busy in the business of the king to have time for him. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except you repent. It wasn't too bad. They weren't getting a really hard time about it. Smyrna is the second church. I hope you caught all that. The first century church. Smyrna is a second century church. And the word myrrh is where we get the Smyrna from, okay? And we know that's an embalming compound for putting to bed the dead, as it were. And they were the suffering church, known as the suffering church. Now, by the way, if you put these churches in any other order, it would not be prophetic in that it speaks of the time of the apostolic church to the time of the Laodiceans, which is the church of the present day. But we'll come to that. Any other order wouldn't fit, but it fits. The suffering church. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There is no reprieve for Smyrna. Jesus didn't come back and save them. They die, and then they get a crown of life. There's no repentance necessary, and nothing bad is said about this church. But I'll tell you before we continue with the third church, every single one of these churches had an opinion of themselves that wasn't true. Some of them thought they were great, and they were rubbish. Some of them thought they were rubbish, and they were great. And it really is a lesson for us to look at ourselves. Pergamos. That word means perversion. It's a Greek word. It also means bigamy and other things. And this is the church that marries the world. This is the third century church. This is from the early beginning of the third century. The marriage of the church to the world. We've seen it. We know about it. We've heard about it. But when you look at it like this, you start to understand things. And he says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. Repent, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Nothing good is said about that church. There is a passage in each regarding each of these churches. And what's important is the first three churches are dealt with. But see, the next four churches, they can go into the tribulation, or they can avoid it. Particularly Philadelphia, they avoid it. They've got a pass. Philadelphia's got a pass. And that is, he that hath an ear, verse 7, 11, and 17, is inside the body of the text. Okay, it's not at the end where it is in the next four. He that hath an ear comes at the end of the letters to the following churches. Thyatira, verse 29. Sardis, 3 and 6. Philadelphia, 13. Laodicea, 22. And I'll tell you why. It's because the last four churches, these are representative of those who go through the tribulation. Thyatira means daughter. Okay, one of the Roman emperors named it after his daughter. He just had a daughter. And this is seen as the Catholic Church, Thyatira. By the way, not just by Robbie Muir, by most scholars these days. You really need to be looking at this book, because we're living in these times right now. And these are the most important verses in the book of Revelation relating to you and I. Just the first three chapters, the rest of it's just by the way. He that hath an ear, as I said, comes at the end of the last four churches. That was verse 29. Sardis is 3:6. Philadelphia is verse 13. And Laodicea is 22. Thyatira was also known as Sumeramis before it was called Thyatira. And Sumeramis was the wife of Nimrod. And this is where all your worship and everything else. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and with them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation. Get the great tribulation here, and understand, this is the great tribulation. This is why these churches are prophetic. This is why this church is talking about the great tribulation, because this is the Catholic Church. By the way, there's nothing good said about that, but the Protestant Church has got even worse said about it. So, you know, you see, that gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. It's only from the fourth church that we see the intro of the tribulation. Chapter 4, that's the fourth church, and nothing good is said about it. Remember, we're looking at three chapters here. I'm trying to introduce you to what I think is probably the most interesting book in Scripture. And like I say, it will take you all over the Bible. You will find yourself in every other book. And if you want to know more, you can come on a Wednesday night. Sardis, it used to be a precious stone. It's not even a precious stone anymore. It has the illusion of being, strong, but it's actually weak. That Sardis was an impregnable fortress up on a hill, and the Romans conquered it because one of the Romans saw the helmet of one of the, I don't know what you call them, the Sardonians or whatever it was. Anyway, his hat fell out, this guy clocked it, and they went up that night and they opened the gates and they conquered them. And a couple of centuries later, it would appear to be impregnable, and it had the illusion that it was safe, but it was not safe. It says, thou hast a few names, and nothing good was said about it. Okay. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defied their garments. So there's a couple of Protestants coming to glory ways. But I'll tell you something. Most of them are amillennialists. We'll not go into all that they know. They don't believe that Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the reality. And the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, they don't, in the main, they don't believe it. They think that it's happened. But Jesus is coming to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. You'll find it in Ezekiel, you'll find it in Jeremiah, you'll find it in Isaiah. But unfortunately, those who believe, there's what's known as Reconstructionists. Whatever the Jews did, it all fell onto the Christians. Well, I can tell you, it did not. God is no finished with the Jews. Look at chapter 11 in Romans. It says, when the number of the saints have come in, then when that number's full, then God's going to come back. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Then you've got Philadelphia. Did I tell you that was the Reformation Church? 15th century to the 17th century, okay? And as I said, nothing good was said about it. But there is a couple who are going to walk with Christ in it. Hallelujah. Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And that's known as the missionary church for the 17th century to the 19th century when the great revivals were here. I would have loved to have been in that time. No water left him. It's so hot. What's happening in this place? I ain't, sister. I ain't. Just pointing a fact. This was a missionary church. And he says, because thou hast kept my words and my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, it's not just any temptation, because he goes on to say, which shall come upon all the world. That's no way back then. That's now. That's why this is prophetic. And try them that dwell upon the earth. I just love that. Even when he played, when he read that bit about, I'd never heard that song before. I really had never heard that song, but I thought it was wonderful. Nothing bad is said about Philadelphia. Ephesus is kind of iffy, if you read it. So I never said nothing about that. I just thought, nothing bad is said about Philadelphia. They are going to be kept from the hour of the great temptation that will come upon all the world. And then, of course, you've got Laodicea. Laodicea is a town which makes dyes for material. And that is the Latter-day Church. They used to have a viaduct that went in to Laodicea with water. But because of the sunshine, and what the hint is here, you're neither hot nor cold. This is where you start to study it. You start to find out why they call this the neither hot nor cold. In fact, it's the neither cold nor hot. It's no hot or cold. It's neither cold nor hot. It says, this is known as the Latter-day Church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have nothing, need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he goes on to exhort them to buy gold for him. This is Christ. These seven epistles to these seven churches were written by Christ himself. When you put them together with all the rest of the stuff, it turns out there's 28 of them. Anyway, nothing good is said about that either. Not one of these churches had any concept of God's opinion of them. Those that thought they were good were bad, and those that thought they were doing okay were not doing so good. They were praised by God. These seven churches present a historical overview until the church is raptured. Sounds like a wonderful time. Do you think you're going through the rapture? You're not. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way that you can through the rapture. Tribulation. Thanks, darling. I keep saying that. I don't know why, but I do. But thanks for correcting me. I need to be corrected at times. The church on the earth is no spoken about after chapter 3. Did you know that? There is no mention of it other than being in heaven. There is no mention of it other than going to glory. And it's mentioned about 19 or 20 times in the first 3 chapters. And then there's nothing. And this word that I was talking about earlier on, metatauta, this is after these things. So the church is here. After the history of the church is finished, then the church is brought up to glory at the beginning of chapter 4. And one of the things that proves that that's a fact is that the church, is that the 7 lampstands that were in chapter 1 are now in chapter 4, where the 24 elders are now seated. You find them in chapter Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel. You find that these 24 thrones are empty. But in Revelation, they've got 24 elders in them. In any other order, we could not look upon these churches as historical, these churches. The main points from each of these churches need to be questioned, and we ask ourselves today, and let's be honest and ask ourselves, have we got so busy on the king's business that we forgot about the king? Or are you holding to a doctrine that casts a stumbling block before the children of God? Or maybe you see yourself tolerating that woman Jezebel. Or do you have an aim that you're alive but you're dead? This is taken straight out of the passages. I am not making this up. This is what he's saying about these churches. We don't want to be part of the suffering church, which is Smyrna, which nothing bad is said about it because they suffer. And who wants to suffer any more than you're already suffering? We all want to be part of the Philadelphia church, don't we? Is that not right? Do we all want to be part of that? Where nothing bad is said about it? They're saved from the hour of tribulation? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves today. So that our works before our Father in heaven are without fault. I found a wee verse at the end of this, no, just on my computer, and it was 2 Chronicles 20:20, and I thought, I've got 20:20 vision. I know it doesn't look like it, but it's only because my arm wasn't long enough that I had to get a pair of reading glasses, and they only cost me £1.99, so I don't feel too. However, this 20:20 vision, it's just such a blessing. Do you know what it says? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Isn't that amazing? Just take hold of that. Believe it. Take hold of it. But remember to do all the other things. Let's pray. Father, we just want to bless you for your word this morning. I know they've got something to think about. I do pray you'll open the eyes of our understanding and open the ears, Lord, that we might hear you. We want to honour you. We want to serve you. So be with us in this week coming, Lord, that we might get opportunity to preach your word and to declare how good you are, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said and shouted, amen. Hallelujah! Who's next?